Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
What happens when the world of ghosts and the world of quantum immortality collide? And then we take a look at a bizarre new form of terrorism. Now, we're all familiar with terrorism at this point. Blowing up a building, shooting politicians in the face, it's all terrible. But what happens when a group decides to take the war off of the streets and into our minds? Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Garbiner. I'm having a great day. I hope you guys are having a great day too. I hope you guys have some awesome plans for the weekend. It's here, ladies and gentlemen. Dune time. That which means I finally have time after this episode to watch Dune. And then Dune 2. That's what's all been building up to me seeing Dune 2. It's exciting to me. I don't know. Most people have already seen it at this point, probably, but I'm looking forward to it. I know nothing about it. It's nice to jump into a sci-fi universe I have literally zero information about, so that's going to be cool. But we got a lot of stuff to cover today. First off, running into Dead Rabbit Radio Command, make way for the Blackheart Cinema Podcast. Woohoo! Yeah, we! Yeah, they're coming on in, knocking over our chairs and our furniture. Blackheart Cinema Podcast, the reason why I'm giving them the shout-out this episode is two reasons. One, this is a movie podcast. They do a lot of horror movies. They cover a lot of stuff. And they've been around as long as Dead Rabbit Radio. When I first started Dead Rabbit Radio, Blackheart Cinema started up. I'd see them on YouTube. I've interacted with the guys off and on over the years. And they're still around. We're going on year six of Dead Rabbit Radio. So they're going on year six of Blackheart Cinema Podcast, which is awesome. To be constantly putting out content this whole time. And obviously, I'll put links in the show notes for them if you want to check them out. It's just a couple guys sitting around talking about movies. The reason why I'm having them on the podcast, one, is just to acknowledge that they've been around this long. That, in and of itself, is a feat. Two, because of the topic we're covering at the end of the episode, I was like, I don't know if any of my Patreons or people who put the Spotify Wrapped in the show notes want to be associated with it. They may not want to be part of the gore war, but I think Blackheart Cinema Podcast, I think they'd be game. Hopefully I'm not starting a war with them, but Blackheart Cinema Podcast, you're going to be our captain, our pilots this episode. For everybody else, if you can't support the show financially, just support the show by telling your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show. Maybe not this episode. Maybe be like, oh yeah, check out the episode next week. Or earlier this week. Maybe not this episode. It's not that bad. We're just going to talk about gore, which is generally not something you want. You're like, hey man, check out this podcast. They're like, ah, their brain's all melting. Oh, that was horrible. I can't believe he talked about all that stuff. We'll get into that in a second. Blackheart Cinema. Let's go ahead and toss you the keys to the Jason Jalopy. We're leaving behind Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Drive us all the way out to Mom's house. We're headed all the way out to Mom's house. Also, let me, I skipped over this part and I shouldn't because it's really getting close. Just a quick reminder, I will be live. I will be giving a live presentation at the Oregon Ghost Conference in Seaside, Oregon. That is going to be March 22nd through the 24th this year, 2024. I will be speaking Saturday, March 23rd, 10 to 11 a.m., but I welcome you guys. I'll come there for the whole day or for the whole weekend, right? I'll be there Friday, Saturday, and a little bit of Sunday. I'll have a booth. You guys can swing by. We can chat, but you guys can make my presentation. It's Can Ghosts Tell Time and Other Odd Questions. I got some cool ghost stories that I have never talked about on the show, and it'll be a hoot, so maybe I'll see you guys there. Blackheart Cinema is driving us out to Mom's house. We're about to meet this woman. Let's go ahead and call her Nancy. This story took place just a couple years ago. Nancy was dying of cancer. This show's so depressing. It's ghosts. You can't have ghosts without people dying, unfortunately. I know all this stuff's depressing. Nancy's dying of cancer. At this point, she's at home. So, you know, they tried all of the things that they can do, all of the therapies, all of the interventions. Basically, she's at home. The best thing to do is to keep her comfortable until the unfortunate day arrives, until she dies. And she's at home. She's pretty much bedridden at this point. The family's there to help her out around the house, comfort her in any way that she needs. Well, a few weeks before she died, she'd be sitting there in bed and go, "Oh my!" And people be like, "Oh, what? Mom, something okay?" She's like, oh, what was that? I'm like, okay. And they're like feeding her soup and stuff like that. Yummy, yummy, yummy. But they would notice that like she'd be jumpy. They're reading her like a book at night. They're like, and then the three blind mice. How does that story end? Actually, it's just the nursery room, right? They just run around. They're reading a book. And then the little women met the little men. And they had little kids. The end. And the mom's like, yay, it's my favorite. Huh? You look around, right? If you were sitting next to somebody and they were super jumpy, that's going to make you jumpy. You see their eyes darting around the room. You could not avoid looking around yourself. But everyone who's sitting next to her or see her get all jumpy, they look around. They're like, mom, what's that happen? And she never says what she sees. She just goes, oh. Be super creepy. Or scary. Or sad, right? Because you're watching this woman who raised you. She's obviously having some issue going on and you don't know how to fix it. Other than the cancer, like a mental issue going on. Well, finally, she goes, oh. And they go, mom, what's the matter? What's going on? And she goes, I wish he'd stop scaring me. Tell him to go away. Tell him to go away. Oh. You're thinking, like, what is she seeing? Is it, like, an angel of death? Is it, like, some sort of bizarre hell goblin peeking around the corner? Well, it's actually creepier than that. Maybe not the hell goblin, but it's disturbing on two levels. What she says, she finally opens up about this. She goes, I keep seeing Clark. I keep seeing Clark. Now, that's a name we made up, but who she means is her deceased partner. The dude she used to kick it with. Oh, Clark, I keep seeing him. I keep seeing him. I don't want to see him anymore. And you go, well, is he at your bedside? Is he, like, sitting here next to you? You're all sitting on top of him. His ghost is all, oh, my legs. It's very common in the paranormal world when you have people who are about to die, see their loved ones who departed before them around their bed or chair or on the ground, wherever they happen to be dying. But in this case, that's not it. You'd be like, oh, is Clark here? Is Clark in the room with us right now? No. She'd be sitting in bed and she would see Clark walk by the door. Just walk down the hallway right past her bedroom door and it would startle her. And she said sometimes when, like, you know, you take mom out, you take Nancy out and take her to the bathroom, or maybe you take her outside so she can feel the sunlight on her skin. She goes, sometimes when we come back into my room, I just see him sitting in the room, just sitting here. And it startles me. He's not reacting to me at all. He's just sitting there. And I get wheeled in. Sometimes he walks past the door and it's not, again, like he's looking at Nancy. He's just walking down the hallway like any of us would walk down a hallway, eyes straight ahead. And Nancy goes, I'm seeing him all the time, multiple times a day. And each time it makes her jump because she doesn't expect it. She knows Clark is dead. She knows Clark died a while back. So why is she seeing him? Towards the very end, as the mother is getting closer and closer to dying, she is taken into a hospice care. And while she is there, the visions stop. And then she passes away. We recently did an episode, I think it was like a week or two ago, about this. I still have some outlier stories that when I was researching that, I found some stuff that didn't fit into that mold. And the story was about people as they're dying, their loved ones showing up before the end. And then sometimes like they were seeing demons before they died. This was an outlier, and I really wanted to talk about this because I wonder if this story is less ghost, even though Clark passed away before Nancy did, is less of a ghost story and more of a quantum immortality story. Think about it. We can shift the story to Clark's point of view, where he exists in a universe where he did not die. He died in our reality. So to see him in our reality was shocking. And nobody in the house could see Clark but Nancy, who was on the edge of death. Clark, quote-unquote, dies in our universe, but then he flips over to a universe where he's still alive, and that's what she's seeing. She's not seeing a ghost. She's seeing Clark in that house walking down the hallway, sitting in that bedroom, doing normal, living Clark things. Because again, it wasn't like this Clark was trying to usher her over to the other side. It wasn't like this Clark was there to give her any assurances that the afterlife will be peaceful. No, this dude had business to do. He was just walking around the house. And I thought, what if that is what happened here? Super bizarre if you think about it, because the fact that it stopped when she left the house kind of lends credence to that. Clark, in the universe he's still alive in, lives in that house. When she went to hospice, if it was all in her mind, you would think that she would hallucinate Clark walking down the hallway of the hospice. Or sitting in the hospice room with her. But there was no reports of that. It was only in that house where Clark may still live in an alternate universe. Here's another piece. I was actually going to save this for the seaside, but I'll tell you it now. Because it's pretty cool. Oh, and that first story I found online posted by Ziggy's Red. This one. We're going to take a look at the story. This one's pretty short. We're going to take a look at the story of this grandpa and his granddaughter. We'll call the grandpa Joe and the granddaughter Becky. A week before he dies, grandpa's obviously dying in this story because it's related to the first one. Sorry, guys. A week before he died, Grandpa Joe kept going, "Ah, stop that racket. Oh, come on. Can't a man die in peace? What's going on here, guys? Ah." He's like holding the pillow against his head. "Oh, it's so loud." People are like, "What's going on, dude?" They're probably a little more patient with him than that. But Grandpa Joe, what's the matter? And he's like, "It's so noisy in here. What are all these people doing in here? Why are all these people in my house?" And obviously Becky'd be like, "There's not a lot of people in this house. I mean, it's just like family." "No, there's just so many people, this racket, I can't even sleep. It's driving me mad." Becky can't figure out what it is because there's nothing that correlates with what he's saying. No one's being exceedingly noisy. The house isn't full of people. And finally, she asks, she's like, "Grandpa, I don't understand, like, what are you talking about?" And he goes, "Those workers keep walking up and down the stairs all day long. They just won't. Are you guys doing renovations or something here? Like, I'm supposed to be dying. I'm supposed to be in my last moments on planet Earth. Why did you guys choose now to renovate the place?" And then eventually Grandpa Joe dies. Now, this story is kind of along the same lines. And again... is it possible? This one, I said, it could be possible that as he's dying, he is seeing an alternate version of the home. We don't really know. I mean, this might come as a shock to you, but we don't really know what happens to you when you die. We don't even really know. I know science has a couple different theories of what happens while you're dying. Near-death experiences is a bit different than actually dying, where you don't come back. And we know, like, the brain can be filled with chemicals, you can be put into some sort of dream state. But as far as the metaphysical aspect of it, the stuff that we can't measure, we don't know what is going on. Are you seeing paradise? Are you moving into an alternate reality? Are you seeing an alternate reality? Because he was clear that these workers were not his old workers back from the old Roosevelt era where they were building dams or whatever. It was just random people walking around the house renovating the place. A very focused hallucination. Constantly assaulted by the sounds of people marching up and down the stairs. Workers. And it appears that they're renovating the place. Why, out of all the possible hallucinations he could have, that one, I mean, we don't really know the nature of hallucinations, but as he's dying, is he seeing a version of that house that he's in getting renovated? And then I had an even scarier thought. This is why I was going to talk about this one at Seaside. I'll probably still talk about it, but I wonder if when he had one foot in the world of the living and one foot in the world of the dead, he was seeing into the future. Because we don't understand how ghosts tell time either. It's possible that as he was dying, he was experiencing that house 16 years from now when renovations are being made on the house. His daughter Becky may not even live there by that point. But he's slipping through time. Oh, and also that last story was from Let's Rock 777. I want to give him credit. And this is one of the things that I'm going to talk about on the speech. Because I love these weird metaphysical stories. What was Nancy seeing? Was she seeing into an alternate reality? It did not seem like it was his ghost there to comfort her. Was this guy seeing into the future, or was he seeing an alternate reality that moment in time, but an alternate version where they're renovating the house? Because in that alternate universe, there wasn't an old man dying in the bed. There's two possibilities with ghosts and how they perceive time. One is that when you die and you become a ghost, you experience time in bursts. In the sense that every time you manifest, whether it's a full physical manifestation or just when people can feel the temperature change or feel the energy of the room kind of dampen or get electrified depending on the power level of the spirit, every time it manifests, it then perceives that moment in time. So let's say you die, and then the next thing you know, it's 5 weeks later. You're standing in your kitchen, 5 weeks have passed. To you, it's just been a blink of an eye. But that's the first time you start to manifest. Your energy is kind of coming back. But with ghosts, they don't stay in a manifested state. They blink in and out. Again, the more powerful ones can be around for longer, but you blink out. The next thing you know, it's 3 months later. Blink out. Next thing you know, it's a year later. Blink out. Next thing you know, it's 5 months since the last time you blinked in, and guess what? There's a new family living there. And for about 5 minutes, you're kind of walking around your house and you don't recognize any of the pictures on the wall. You don't recognize the people in your house. You don't recognize the friend. Blink out. You blink back in. It's 3 weeks after the last time you appeared. Think about how disorienting that would be. Imagine if every time, let's say, what's a good human example? Imagine every time you blinked as a human, you were in your same house, but a different time period. Always in the future. Always moving forward. It'd be super disorienting. And I think that would explain why ghosts tend to get angry when you do renovations. Because you're actually making massive changes to the only environment they know. And they can't do anything to stop it. That's a possibility. That ghosts experience time in these blinking motions. Which would drive you nuts. Even if you were a good ghost, a good person alive, that would drive you nuts as you're a dead person. It's that, or you die, and it does take time for a ghost to manifest, again, depending on certain factors. Let's say you die, and you manifest as a ghost, not a visible ghost. Again, that takes a high level of power, but you die, and then 3 months after you die, you are now a ghost in your house. And every second of the day passes for you. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, tick. You cannot read a book. You cannot interact with your environment. You cannot talk to anybody. Well, you can, but they can't talk back. You cannot leave the house. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Every second of every day for 90 years. And that's a low ball in it. Some ghosts, 100, 200 years. Some ghosts appear for even more than that. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Experiencing every second of every day for 90 years. And when you say that, some people go, that's not too bad. I challenge you to spend this weekend sitting in your living room. Can't read a book. Can't use your computer. You could cheat and say, I'm going to watch TV, but it can't be anything you want to watch because you don't know who's living in that house. You can do nothing. Except move around the location. I doubt most people can make it more than a day. Even if you took the first day and go, I'm just going to sleep all day. I'm taking Jason's challenge. You call into work, you'd be like, hey, I'm a ghost this weekend. They're like, what? You can't pick anything up. You can't fidget. All you can do is move around the interior of your house. How long would it take for you to go mad? How long would it take before you started pulling pranks? Then eventually the pranks get meaner and meaner, and at a certain point, now you're a poltergeist. We don't know how ghosts tell time, and it's possible it's either incredibly disorienting, and it would take you years to even get used to the fact that every time you moved in and out of existence, time changes randomly. You could lose a day, you could lose a decade when you blink in and out. Or you're there for every second of every minute of every hour of every day for 90 years. Which one's worse? Even if you were somehow able to control it, let's say you go, well, I'm going to manifest myself. I don't want to keep jumping around in time. And you're there now as a ghost and you're no longer jumping through time as far as you perceive. Now you're stuck doing the tick-tock, tick-tock, tick every second of every day. And let's say you go, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I'm losing my mind. And you blink out. You don't know when you're coming back. You could blink out and you're in your house. 50 years have passed. Super disorienting. Even if you're able to move between the two, you couldn't stay in either one for long. And so that's why I love stories like this, because I don't know what this means. The stories of loved ones gathering around the bed, I love doing that episode. Those are very common in the world of the paranormal. These are outliers. What do these mean? How does this correlate to what we know of not just ghosts, but death itself? Fascinating stuff. I know I say it a lot, but I cannot say it enough. I love doing this show. Right? I love sharing these stories with you guys. I absolutely love it. Again, going on 6 years, how awesome is that? That I get to spend my time finding this stuff and sharing it with you guys. Because that's just nuts. Right? That's just nuts. I've always said this podcast is not Paranormal 101. We do not cover just the basic stuff. We are not a basic paranormal show. We try to push that envelope. And I appreciate you guys being along for all of the envelope pushing we do. Speaking of envelopes being pushed. Blackheart Cinema, I'm going to go ahead and toss you the keys to the world famous Carpenter Copter. We are leaving behind the space between life and death. Fly us all the way out to University of California, Irvine. You want to know another really weird thing about this show? 6 years, over 1,200 episodes, University of California, Irvine, somehow, like, I don't go out of my way to find stories about this college. We have covered this college multiple times from the suicide tower. There's like this weird part of the campus people keep killing themselves from. We covered UC Irvine the other episode. I don't remember what it was, but I do remember it was weird that we went back a second time, and now we're here a third time, which is really bizarre. And what I thought was interesting, too, you had University of California, Irvine. If you don't know, that's in California, in the city of Irvine. Well, on January 17th, 2024, we're at UC Irvine, and we're sitting there in the computer lab. Do they still have those on call? Back when I was in college, you had one room full of computers back in the 90s. I don't know if that is still a thing. I'm sure pretty much the computer room is your dorm room where you have like laptops and tablets and all this stuff. But we're old school. We walk in and we see row after row of computers and put on our floppy disks and we're typing out our latest term paper. Clickety clack clack click click clack clack. We're walking around the computer lab, old yellowed giant CRT monitors, and we're on the keyboards, clickety clack. We're on the school's Discord server, and they're typing away, and this is set up, apparently, so only students can use it, when all of a sudden, we're sitting in the computer lab, and we hear someone go, "Oh my god, no!" And we, like, turn and we look, and we're like, "What? Who's freaking out?" And then we hear someone else go, "Oh my, I think I'm gonna be sick." That person was standing right behind you, you're like, "Ah!" You're getting vomited on. I'm wearing a rain slicker because I'm prepared for this story. And then we hear someone else go, "Oh my god, no, make it stop, make it stop." And all of a sudden, it's just a cacophony of screams and vomit filling the computer lab. But the computer lab doesn't exist. In fact, if I told the story, if I told the story accurately, you'd still get vomited on. But across campus, you'd hear people in their dorm rooms throwing up. Blah. "Oh my god, help, I need a doctor." People are falling out of their dorm rooms. People are screaming, sobbing. "What was that? What was that?" You go, "Jason, you're obviously exaggerating this. I did not hear of a biochemical weapon attack at UC Irvine." You're right, you didn't. What happened on January 17th, 2024, hackers infiltrated the student Discord servers and flooded the servers with gore. It was so disgusting, apparently. And not just gore, they were listed as disgusting images, but it was so gross and so awful that students began openly weeping. They'd never seen anything like this before. A couple of them started throwing up, and some of them ended up in the hospital. They're like, they go there, they're like, "Hey, you mind being next to this guy we're operating on right now?" You're all bleh. You're all throwing up in the wounds. "Get me out of here, get me out of here. I just saw gore." Now, when they included disgusting stuff, obviously there's probably like some diarrhea pictures. But the point is that it was a coordinated attack on these Discord servers. And it wasn't just at UC Irvine. It had hit other colleges as well. However, mass vomiting only happened at UC Irvine. UC Irvine does have a checkered past. I'll put those episodes in the show notes. There's some weird stuff going on there. But getting hit with this wave of disgusting imagery causing your students to go to the hospital, it seemed odd to me. I think it probably seems odd to you. You're probably like, how gross could it be? You're eating SpaghettiOs right now. You're like, "He purposely made SpaghettiOs when he saw the title of this episode." You're all, "Yummy, yummy, yummy." You're eating SpaghettiOs with the little chopped up hot dogs in them. How gross could these images be? Well, I mean, probably pretty gross to make you throw up. But also, I mean, if you live a relatively sheltered life, you probably haven't seen much gore. So a crazy event. But it's just trolls, Jason. It's just trolls. They did hit up a couple different schools. It seems that none of the other schools, people were vomiting, running to the hospital, things like that. But trolls are going to troll. And I would argue that that was the case, right? I would argue it was a group of trolls doing that, posting these disgusting images all over the Discord. However, we got to take a look at an interesting post on the X-Board late last year. So this article, this UC Irvine thing, happened earlier this year. But back in November of 2023... it was predicted. Now, not such a precise prediction that the staff at UC Irvine should have prepared for this, but I found this very interesting, and I don't have a lot of time to talk about. I'm actually recording this right before I'm going to work. It's a crazy night last night when I was prepping that episode. I originally did 4 versions of this story, and they got increasingly more depressing because I was really going on into the history of gore videos and the worst ones and all that stuff. We're going to streamline it down because I literally have 20 minutes to record this before I have to go to work. And this post back in November 2023 really asked the question, does watching gore inflict psychic damage on the soul and the body? And it specifically states, and it has some articles to back it up, some links are there, if you are in a comfortable environment, you're not looking for gore, you're not working at a mortuary, or you're at a big bike rally where everyone is handed out free knives and they invite the Mongols and the Hell's Angels. If you're not in an environment where you expect to see gore, like your college dorm room, right? You're just doing your homework. And all of a sudden you're confronted with gory images. That puts you in a disassociated state. It does completely, for a moment in time, break your mind. And when you're in that disassociated state, that is the easiest time to then, I mean, if we're talking about like MK Ultra type stuff, you got to break the mind down before you can build it back up in your image. And so this post, it's very, very interesting. It's talking about this. If you get somebody when they're at their most comfortable state where you're just chilling, and I think that's happened to a lot of us, right? I think it's the Ronnie McNutt video. It's a video of a guy killing himself with either a rifle or a shotgun. I'm not quite sure, but he was doing it on webcam. It's fairly recent. They get it down to like a 3-second video. You can't even click off it fast enough, and you'll come across it. You know, you could be scrolling around, you could be on Twitter, you could be watching something on YouTube, and someone just sticks it in there as a troll, and you can't react fast enough, and it shocks you. It absolutely shocks you because you were trying to find Minecraft tips on string replication, and instead you see this horrific suicide video. That is the shock. What you need is the message to follow in. If this is some sort of organization that's doing this, if it isn't some hackers, if it isn't some trolls, if it's actually a organization with a goal, i.e. create, and this is kind of where this post goes on the export, creating an army or even just one killer, trying to turn someone into being a mass shooter, trying to turn someone into being a serial killer. And these are all very common talking points in conspiracy theory community, that there are organizations, be them government or non-governmental, that are trying to break down people's minds so they can turn them into mass killers, serial killers, and things like that. Programmed to Kill is one of the best books on that particular subject. You see this, right? You create the gore, you create the shock. The message coming in after it, I would assume, would be subliminal, or at least, like, if you saw a horrifying image, you're like, ah, and then the next thing it said, like, rob a bank, rob a bank and kill everyone in the bank. It's just like a text pop up in Comic Sans, you'd be like, wait, what? That's kind of more shocking in a lot of ways than the image. And then it flashes the image again. You're like, no, it's not. No, it's not. I imagine it'd have to be subliminal. It could also be a test. Because again, they did this at a lot of colleges, and only UC Irvine is the one that made the news for the most amounts of vomiting and hospital visits. I don't know if anyone vomited or went to the hospital at any of the other colleges. If I ran this organization, if I was behind this scheme, and we did this mass gore, disgusting images thing, and I saw all this stuff happen at UC Irvine, guess where stage 2 of my program is going to start? UC Irvine. Guess who now has all their information at local hospitals. Like the ones who took it to the extreme, the ones who actually had to be hospitalized, they were so stressed out. And you go, well, Jason, HIPAA laws. You just can't Google and find out who was at the hospital. You know, and you're right. You can't. And I can't. But people can. People with the right authority. One of the things that a lot of people, I feel, make the mistake is that these laws are meant to, like HIPAA laws, or we've talked about this before, you'll see every so often in the news, the FBI is like, oh, dang it, we have this terrorist and we have his iPhone, but without his password, we don't know what's on the iPhone, and Apple, they won't give us the password. Apple, they won't give us a backdoor. So, sorry guys, that is 100% a smokescreen. Every time I see that pop up in the news, I go, the government has cracked Tor. The government created Tor in the first place, but they've gone back and they've cracked it open. It is no longer the anonymous place. And that's another thing. Remember when Tor first came out? They're like, it's anonymous, bro. You can buy as many drugs as you want. You want to buy guns? Buy them on Tor. And then people started getting arrested. Not right away. But once everyone moved to it, they're like, oh, they found a vulnerability. But just that one time, guys, keep using it. Whenever I read an article about the feds not being able to get into an Apple phone or whatever, I'm like, that's not true. There's 1,000 different ways they have back-end access. But see, Apple wants to provide the belief to the other law-abiding 99% of their customers that their phones are safe, and the FBI or the CIA, whoever is doing it, want to make people feel comfortable that they can commit felonies, they can commit terrorist planning and all that stuff on their phone, and they won't be tracked. It's just not true. And so if your local police department wanted to get your medical records, they may not be able to get that. But I guarantee if the federal government wanted to know when you had an appendectomy or whatever, they'd find out. Right? They probably just type in your name and it all pops up. It all pops up. So now, and I don't even know who's behind this. This is one of those things that I'm not saying it's the CIA, it's the FBI. This could actually be a non-governmental agency. It could be government. It could be nothing, right? It could just be trolls. It could just be a weird coincidence that in November of 2023, a post goes up on the X board saying, can you damage people psychically? Can you actually hurt their soul by exposing them to gore when they're at their most comfortable level? Like extreme amounts of it. Can you put them into the same shock that it would be as if you were standing there and the gore happened next to you and you disassociate? Your brain just is like, and now it's the perfect time to get in there and start doing the reprogramming. That was the conspiracy theory back in November. Is that what we saw? And if there's an organization that just 2 months later ran this stage one of their operation, blasted all these brains, found out at UC Irvine, the kids reacted the worst to it. Now it's stage two. Now they go there and start figuring out what else they can do to turn these students of UC Irvine into mad men and mad women and set them forth on their evil plan. It's bizarre. I know it sounds absolutely weird. The whole thing sounds weird. I came across this post back in November and I bookmarked it. I was like, that's super interesting. I archived it, I bookmarked it. And then when I saw what happened at UC Irvine, I didn't make the connection at first, honestly. But as I was kind of looking around, I go, oh, wait, I remember reading something on the export a while back about that. So is it totally unconnected? Is it related? And here's the thing, and I want to wrap it up like this because I literally got to get ready for work. One interesting detail to this whole thing is I have a theory that the hive mind of the conspiracy theory community sometimes gives ideas to the conspirators. There's that old thing called the GLP effect or the Godlike Productions effect, and that is make up a conspiracy theory like there's going to be an alien invasion. This was an old one. I remember this one. There's going to be an alien invasion during the opening. It was either the opening ceremonies of the Olympics in Britain, or there was some royal holiday. Maybe it was the marriage of Kate and whoever she's married to, Harry or Edward or Jacob. There's supposed to be aliens. There's supposed to be aliens in the sky. It was going to be the beginning of this alien invasion. Godlike Productions was all about that. It didn't happen. And then Godlike Productions, if you don't know, they're a really big conspiracy theory forum. They've been around for the longest time. I used to go to them all the time. It didn't happen. The alien invasion didn't happen. And then they would say, it didn't happen because we exposed it. Godlike Productions said what was going to happen, and the powers that be go, oh my god, they keep ruining our plans. That's it. Call up Bleep Blorp. Alien invasion is off. It'll be a happy wedding and or Olympic ceremony. No aliens this time. And the people on Godlike Productions would cheer. They go, we did it. We did it. We did it again. We stopped this event that was never going to happen. It was never going to happen in the first place, but because they exposed it, it's not going to happen. So it would provide proof to them. Basically, they made something up. It didn't happen. And they say it didn't happen because they exposed it. I've wondered about the inverse of that. I wonder if this post was put up on the X board and some guy's like, hey, you know, I wonder if, like, by watching gore, it can put you in a disassociated state if you're not expecting it. I wonder if that's, like, actually, like, damaging people psychologically and psychically. I wonder if that hurts your soul. And people were posting online. This one guy was like, yeah, you know, for a while there, I was getting really motivated. I was watching weightlifting videos and that made me motivated, so I started watching more fitness videos, and I was getting like, this is it, man, I'm gonna start doing this stuff. He goes, and then I went on the TV board and I saw a video of a woman getting her throat slit open, and it completely demoralized me. And he said he felt like it was dark entities on the internet, like building him up and then dropping him to the lowest level. And it was feeding off of his Loosh. And we've talked about Loosh in previous episodes. They're just these archons or these dark creatures, these demons who feed off of humans' negative energy. He kind of put it like that. But you had these different people talking about their experiences of this, right? Of coming across gore and not wanting it. And I've wondered about this. I wonder if somebody else was reading this thread. Because all of these boards are monitored, right? They're all monitored. Someone is reading that. They're drinking their cup of coffee. They have gore. They have nonstop gore on their other monitor. Like, that one's particularly disgusting. All right, save. But they're sitting there in their office. They're drinking their coffee. And they come across this post. And they go, hey, Gary, dude, I just, look at this. I just read this on the X board about, like, if you're really calm and you see gore, it totally breaks your brain. We should do this. We should do this. And Gary's like, oh, you know what? That's actually a great idea. That is a good idea. Let's take it up to the top guy. Let's go run this by. Go ahead. Bring your gore. Bring your whole library of gore. 2 terabytes. Let's go talk to the boss. And they talk to the boss and they're like, hey, did you know that watching gore, if you don't expect it, can put you in a disassociated state? Perfect for us to build a brainwashed super soldier. Well, not physically super, but just mentally so deranged that you'll do whatever we say. And the boss is like, that's a great idea. I never thought of that. Everyone in the building is clapping. They're like, yay, great idea. Where'd you get it from? And he goes, I got it from an anonymous post on the X board. I imagine that happens from time to time. I think the collected intelligence, the collected creativity of the conspiracy theory community sometimes accidentally gives ideas to our tormentors, to the people running the conspiracies. I think sometimes they crib our notes, for lack of a better term. Interesting theory. That's something that I believed in a long time. I don't think I've ever really said it on the show. I might have once a long time ago, but yeah, I think sometimes they get their notes from us. Was the attack at UC Irvine just a one-off thing? And again, it happened at other colleges, but was it just the troll attack on that particular day? Or was it the first salvo in the Gore War? Is this actually going to be a tactic that is used in the future to create lunatics? Take a seemingly normal person, snap their brain, put in the commands that you want. I mean, we're talking real Manchurian candidate stuff right now, but even then, it doesn't have to be so instant. Everyone who went to the hospital, everyone who filed a report with the local dorm captain or whatever they're called, who complained to the school, all of that information, the government or whoever is doing this can get, and they go, these are the most vulnerable people. We're going to zero in on UC Irvine. We have a list. Here's all the people who went to the hospital. We have a list. Here's all the people who were throwing up. I don't know if they have a list of people who throw up, but now we're going to go into their personal computers. We're going to go and interact with them in real life undercover. We're going to keep pushing them, pushing them, pushing them. Keep them mentally and psychically off balance until we have what we want. And imagine if you did this on a huge scale. You know, this was a couple of colleges. This could be the first salvo. Imagine, this is always kind of blowing my brain that no one's tried this yet. Probably because it's extremely impossible. Imagine if you took this to the next level where you did start hiding gore in YouTube videos for kids. On a mass scale. And they would call it a glitch. YouTube would be like, we don't know what happened. We don't know what was wrong with the algorithm. All of a sudden, Blue's Clues or Paw Patrol or whatever, it cuts to a video of a woman having her head chopped off. And 13,000 kids saw it. What happens when, that's not my grand conspiracy theory. What if someone intercut gore? I always wondered why horror movies don't use like split second images of real dead bodies. Because it is shocking to see, even in a horror movie, you may not expect to see a real dead body. Your brain goes, was that real? Like those horror movies that are shown, like just those flash images, like something like, what was the one, Event Horizon. Throw in a couple pictures of real dead bodies during the scene. Only do it in the theatrical cut so you don't have time to like freeze frame it. Imagine if this group, if they're powerful enough, imagine if they quote unquote accidentally, watch, here I am giving them ideas. They're all scribbling it down. They're like, this is great. Imagine if during the Super Bowl, during an ad, there was a glitch, there was a hack or whatever, and there's a 3-second video of a guy blowing his head off with a shotgun. And he's exposed to millions of people, millions of families. What would it do to the human psyche? What would that do to the national psyche? You wouldn't feel safe. You'd be like, wow, if they could put that in my house, then what else could they do? This could be a one-off troll attack. It could just be a coincidence that it happened just a couple months after this post came out on the X board. They did not say we expect a mass gore attack in the X board post. They were just kind of bringing up the subject. But I wonder if that gave someone or some organization the idea to carry this out. Was that the first salvo in the Gore War? Where it's not just trolls, but it's a concentrated attack to break people's minds. And if that's the case, what's coming next? DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be your email address. You can also hit us up at Facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. TikTok is @DeadRabbitRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm glad you listened to it today. Have a great weekend, guys.